Hey guys, welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I am Christopher Klein. I am here with Lucas Johnson today. He is sick, so crank up the volume.
I'll be doing my best Doc Rivers impersonation, guys.
He does kind of sound like Doc Rivers. We are going to do a Sixers free agency preview, Lucas. Basically, we're going to go through a bunch of names here and just give our quick thoughts. The Sixers should have access to the full non-taxpayers mid-level exception, which is around $15 million. They could also use the $6 million biannual exception if they want to. They have bird rights on Kelly Oubre and Quentin Grimes, who are their two main free agents that we think they might try to re-sign or consider re-signing. We'll see what happens in the coming days. We're recording late Monday night here. And Lucas is typing away. So,
sorry, adding something.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Do these things.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're just going to run through some names. I've got these from various different sites, just the free agent list, guys who are kind of being talked about as potential Sixers targets, some guys who aren't, but who could reasonably be on Philly's mind. Let's start with a guy who is connected to Mike Gansey, former Cavalier.
Oh, hold up. I thought we were starting with, re-sign Kelly Oubre or Grimes and then working our way down.
Sure. We can do that if you want. Kelly Oubre, Quentin Grimes, how are we feeling?
Well, your dog shook his head when Grimes came up. I think we all agree that it's Oubre. Look, Oubre just brings more to you, I think, at this point for the value. Grimes feels like more like a one-hit wonder at this point. Kind of feels like the band Blessed Union of Souls from the 90s. If you know, you know. That being said, you know, if they can get Grimes back on a cheap deal, cool. But I imagine he goes elsewhere, especially now with the drafting of Filon. So, you know, no second round picks. A little disappointed on that, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I'm warmer on Kelly than I think a lot of Sixers fans are. I know the consensus out there is very negative towards Kelly at this point. And look, if it's spending $21 million on a few other guys instead of re-signing them, I think that's the best way to go. Depends on who those guys are. But
yeah,
I wouldn't be mad at Kelly coming back. I don't think that would be particularly expensive. Grimes, there's a world where I'm not like mad at it, but
I think I would only want Grimes back if we can have him on like the biannual exception.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think in theory, getting a guy like Filon could help Grimes take him off the ball a bit. I don't think Grimes is a bad player by any stretch, but
I think he was overstretched last season.
Yeah, so in theory, it could work out just fine. But I'm with you. I would rather have Oubre back if I had to have one of them back. So
yeah.
Now let's talk about the guy with the Gansey connection, the former Cav.
Well, hold up, Chris. Before we jump into that, sorry, okay. I know I keep on interrupting you. We do have to talk about what the team has done with team options. Dominic Barlow is back. Daylon Terry is back. Kind of surprised on that one. No Trenton Wofford back. Tyrese Maxey's guy, Zach Chavanello, seems to be indicating that it's probably over for the Wofford experiment. I'm okay with that. I hope Maxey's okay with it. Barlow back. A lot of people are shocked on that one because they thought that he would opt out and the team would opt out and give him a long-term deal. But that was an old regime. We don't know. Maybe Gansey's like, prove it to me this year. Do you fit in my vision of the team? Yet to be determined. But that's pretty much where it is. The Wofford, declining Wofford's deal is actually how we are able to use the full mid-level and the biannual exception. If we opted in with him, then we wouldn't be able to use the full mid-level.
Yeah. Worth noting that Terry's contract is non-guaranteed, so he could still very much not be here in a few weeks. But yeah, I think the main thing with Barlow was that the expectation was when Morey was here that they would try to extend him and sign him to a longer contract. They are not doing that. They're just picking up his option. So that is like a change with this new management team that maybe impacts Barlow's future, but I'm glad to have him back. $3.4 million is a very good price to have him at. He was very helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was kind of our best center in the playoffs. So
crazy how that works.
I'm really happy with that. Yeah, Watford, you know, with all due respect to Tyrese, I'm very fine with Watford not being back next year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now we're going to talk about Dean Wade, Lucas.
Yes.
We have a guy that was there under Mike Gandy, a guy that I think fits the Sixers very well in theory, a bigger forward, good defender, has some shooting touch and mobility, can rebound a bit. What are your feelings on Dean Wade?
Seems like I think if I'm like ranking the free agents at the power forward position that makes sense for the Sixers within their price range, I think I have him at number two. I think he's, you know, really good connector on offense, good 3-point shooter, can't really create off the dribble, not super fast, but good switchy defender, good team defender. I have him number two. You know, definitely does do some good stuff for, would do some good stuff, for a 3-4. But we kind of already have like two of those type of power forwards, you know, like Kelly and Paul George on the team already. So, I mean, like, it's cool. He's a great player. Would love to have him. Not my number one target here, though, at the power forward position in free agency.
I mean, that's fair. I do think he, you know, he's bigger than Kelly, maybe a little bit better on the glass, which would be a selling point. Frankly, like, a better defender than Kelly. But,
yeah.
I'm interested to know who you have at number one. We can talk about whoever that is. I assume it's John Collins.
Hey, Chris, why are you giving away my trade secrets here? Yeah, it's John Collins. Look, John Collins is like, yes, I know he had some bad rebounding last year, but I'm going to attribute that to one, having two really good centers on his team that can rebound the crap out of the ball. And Kawhi coming back actually being healthy too, so I'm gonna attribute that to all that. He's still athletic, still a rim runner, still can space the floor to solid, not great, but a passable defender, you know. And look, he can start for you in a pinch, or he can come off the bench, same as D Wade. I just like the 4-5 versatility more than the 3-4 versatility with him. Now, obviously, you don't want him playing five for super long, but he can do it in short sprints.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not maybe as high on Collins as consensus. I think these are the two guys who have been like credibly linked to the Sixers at this point, which is just worth noting.
Yeah.
Even beyond the rebounding stuff, which has kind of fluctuated throughout his career, I just don't think he's on Dean Wade's level defensively, which would be my main sticking point.
He's just more versatile offensively, and I think with this team, you need to have offensive versatility. That's
true, though. Like, Wade is a better passer and decision maker.
Okay, but let's say Joel and or Paul George is out. You're going to have somebody that can get you 20 points on any given night. Dean Wade can't do that. John Collins can.
You don't want John Collins trying to give you 20 every night. I think that phase of his career is pretty much over with.
We'll see. We'll see.
I don't think he's a dump it to him and let him cook kind of guy.
Well, no, he's not a back to the back. He's a pick and roll, which is really good for Maxi, right? Maxi and VJ, right? He's an ideal pick and roll guy, right? And on top of that, he does have a little bit of a mid-range, like, elbow jumper, too, that he can go to as well. And can take guys off the dribble occasionally. Not a lot. Not from like the 3-point line, but from the mid post area, he can do that. So I like him in that regard. Like, I get the concerns. I do. And I like I said, like, if I had to put it, John Collins 1A, Dean Wade 1B, I guess if you want to put it like that, I would be very happy with either one of them as our starting power forward.
Yeah. I think that's fair. They're very different stylistically. Again, I can see the case for both. I feel like Wade just slightly fits like my ideal vision for this team a little bit more, but I wouldn't be mad with John Collins necessarily. Yeah,
that's fair.
Let's talk about Rui Hachimura, Lucas. Not sure the Sixers are. He might make more than the mid-level, honestly. I don't know.
There's that. But if we're talking about John Collins' bad rebounding, we have to talk about Rui's historically bad rebounding.
Look, I we're just going through the names. I don't want Rui Hachimura on this
team. Thank you. Okay, good.
Yeah, look, he's improved as a defender. He can shoot.
He just can't rebound. And look, you can say, oh, well, he played with guys like LeBron, Luka, and DeAndre Ayton gobbling up rebounds the last couple of years. Okay, fine, whatever. But still not a good rebounder, even when he was a good, like, one of the primary guys.
Yeah, I'd rather have Oubre for half the price, a third of the price, whatever.
Yeah.
I think there are some real parallels there, and I I just don't want to pay Rui the max that we have to pay him. Jonathan Kuminga.
Hawks no.
Declined his team option. I agree. Absolutely not. A very talented player. Good athlete. Had some fun moments there in Atlanta before things kind of fizzled out after the trade. I don't know
where he goes. Tobias Harris is not going back to Detroit.
He's
going
to go to Sacramento. It's where he's going.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I would say Miami, but Miami has Giannis now, so that's not happening.
Yeah.
Well,
you never know. But
you never know.
Yeah, look, I think Kuminga still has an outsized vision of himself in his head.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he's more than he is, and
yeah,
I don't want to deal with that on a team that's that fair. Already has a lot of mouths to feed. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to one of my favorite guys, just in general.
Yeah.
Sandro Mamukelashvili. I probably butchered that last
you
name.
Did, you Mamu. Did, but I can't pronounce it either.
We're just calling him Mamu.
Mamu, yeah. He's a top three center for me in free agency. He's top three. I wouldn't say he's number one, but he has a lot of things to like. I'm just worried about his rim protection.
I think that's fair, but I will say he can play the four a little bit. He's a good shooter.
He can't defend on the perimeter, though.
I mean, he's not, like, immobile. He has really active hands, a very high steal percentage.
You and those steal percentages, man.
Look, he's a great passer, really, which is my big draw. We just don't have very many good to great passers on this team. Like, he's a guy who can, like, come in and genuinely, like, initiate.
Would you want him starting next to Joel, or do you want him coming off the bench?
Coming off the bench, but
okay.
He could be like that second unit microwave kind of guy who heats things up, gets things going, moves the ball around. I think him and LeBaron could be a really fun combo. I'd be very into bringing him in. Only 27, very fun and funky kind of player.
Yeah,
I'd be very happy with Mamu personally.
Okay,
another option, Lucas. In the oft-injured big man Hall of Fame, Robert Williams III, awesome, awesome defender when he's healthy. I know a lot of teams want him. I think he's still very good when he's out there. You're saying no?
I think he's a Laker.
Very possible.
I'm good on it. I don't need two often-injured big men who are and Robert Williams, while as good as he is undersized for his position. I need somebody with a little bit more size.
Size doesn't really matter.
It matters a little bit.
How big you play. He's one of the best shot blockers in the NBA.
Mm-mm.
You know.
All right.
Good rebounder. Good shot blocker. Plays very big, I think. Has a super long wingspan, too.
I just don't think he gives you anything outside of defense and lob threats. Like, he's not a great passer, going back to your passer thing. Like, if you're going to be an undersized center, and you rely on athleticism to do what you do, it makes me nervous.
That's fair, I guess. I agree that the injury stuff is a little off-putting when you're in Philadelphia shoes, specifically. Mm-hmm. Not a center, more of a forward wing type. Derek Jones Jr., Lucas.
He's basically Kelly Oubre light. I'm good.
Well, I don't agree with that.
He's a better defender, but not offensively better. Not nearly as good offensively. I'm good.
He's a good finisher. He's made some strides as a shooter. I think he's an awesome defender. Like, he's a very good
player. If you can get him on the minimum, cool, but I'm not paying the mid-level
for
him.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But,
well, then, no thank you.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in Derek Jones.
He's also, like, 6'6".
Wouldn't be at the top of my list necessarily, but I'd be interested. Another guy who I think kind of plays and impacts the game bigger than his listed height. Another center, Lucas. Australian. Jock Landale.
I would like him if he didn't get as injured as much. I there is appeal there. You know, a little bit of a playmaker, can score, can rebound. Not the best defender, but he can hold his own. I don't know if I can say, I feel good about Jock Landale starting 30, 40 games for me.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I'm okay. Like, he's a top five center for me.
Yeah. I think that's fair. He was very good in Atlanta before he got hurt. He had a good run in Memphis too. Not really like the rebounder and rim protector, like you said, that maybe we would want in Philly, but sets good screens, good connective passer, good finisher, can shoot a little bit. I think he's a good potential value. I don't think he would cost the entire $15 million or anything. So
yeah,
I could see it as like part of a larger puzzle. Wouldn't be opposed to it, but
yeah, maybe.
Definitely some limitations. How about former number two overall pick Marvin Bagley, Lucas?
Look, there have been former top lottery picks that have come and rebuilt their value here in Philly a little bit. We talk about Dwight Howard. We talk about Andre Drummond. We talk about JaVale McGee. Now I'm joking about JaVale McGee. But my point is that there are some former big men that come here and rebuild their value. Now, I do want to note that I think Marvin Bagley had a fantastic year last year. And he has become a serviceable defensive player. I'm not going to say good, not going to say great, but serviceable. Rebounding has gotten a little bit more solid. He has accepted the role of a center, and we know what he can do offensively. Honestly, he might be number two on my list.
Yeah. I would also be pretty into it, honestly. I was not the biggest Marvin Bagley guy, you know, for those first several years in Sacramento, but I think kind of scaled down with those expectations removed. He's an awesome, awesome rebounder, which is something the Sixers just need a ton, especially assuming that Andre's gone. They're going to need someone who can kind of come in and clean up the glass every now and then.
He's not a terrible shot blocker.
Yeah, like not like the greatest defender, but he is like kind of improved in the efforts.
He's good. Passable now. He's passable as a center defender.
Yeah. Has some passing in there, which is fun. I don't think you're going to play him a ton next to Joel, but that's not like an impossibility either.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's going to be primarily backup center.
Yeah. I'd be into it. Is basically I don't know if he's my favorite guy on this list or anything.
He might, you know what? I'm going to say he's my favorite guy. Okay. My second favorite guy is actually on the minimum list, but that's okay. A whole another thing.
No, that's fair. Zach Collins, another guy with some injuries on his ledger, no. Lucas.
No. What Zach Collins has never I don't think he's that good. I just don't.
Okay, that's fair. I'm also probably okay passing at him. Another guy who has been hurt a lot recently, but who is very fun, plays very hard, and is pretty skilled for the center position, Lucas, is Mo Wagner.
Now, you could talk me into Mo Wagner. You could talk me into it if it happens. I don't know if it will, but you could talk me into it. Obviously, defensive limitations there, but good passer, good decent rebounder, and definitely a floor spacer. Probably the best floor outside of Sandro is the second best floor spacer at the center position on this list.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a legit shooter. And again, plays like extremely hard. I know Gansey talked about like fountains, not drains. Guys who are going to come in and compete and add to the culture. I think Wagner's that kind of guy. I think he'd be a pretty quick fan favorite if he's out there on the floor. So I could also talk myself into Mo Wagner pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Kevon Looney, Lucas, has been connected to the Knicks and Celtics.
I like Kevon Looney. I do. But he had a terrible season last year in New Orleans. And I don't know if that's being in New Orleans or him getting close to 30. Or you know what I mean? Like, in a box, like during his prime, he was a great rebounder, great solid defender, not a rim protector per se, but, you know, body positional defender, could pass the heck out of the ball. I just don't know if he has that anymore around 30. And with all the, I mean, granted, he hasn't been injured recently, but like the wear and tear on his body concerns me.
Couple notes. Last season was his highest assist percentage of his career.
It was also one of his worst defensive seasons, too.
It was not his best defensive season, but, I mean, I don't think it was his worst either. I do think, like, he just kind of got bogged down in a very bad Pelicans team with not the right pieces around him. Look, I mean, he is 30, which isn't ancient. It's not, like, super young anymore, but it's not ancient. This isn't going to be a long-term deal.
I mean, you could talk, if they did it, I wouldn't be mad at it. I will say that.
I do think Looney has some of those like intangible qualities that were very apparent in Golden State that could maybe be kind of rediscovered in a winning situation.
He's a really good screen setter too.
So yeah, I wouldn't mind Looney. I think he's like good on the margins and can help you.
I think he's a minimum contract, not a mid-level though.
That's fair. And that might end up being the case, but I'd be pretty open to that. All right, Lucas. Let's go with a wing guard, whatever you want to call him. Tim Hardaway Jr., any interest?
He can't play defense anymore, but he can still score the ball. Wouldn't mind him as a sixth man. Would probably just pay the biannual exception for him. I don't think I would spend the mid-level exception, but the biannual I'd be okay with.
Yeah. Look, I tend to agree. I think ignore the dog, guys. I think if they got like a really solid four-man and they decided they weren't going to bring back Grimes or Oubre and they used the biannual on Hardaway, I could be fine with that. I think he's a good like microwave guy off the bench. Like you said, still a really awesome.
I was about to say 13 points a game last season.
Yeah, so I could talk myself into it. I don't know how many. Like, it's a tough thing where the Sixers definitely still need more shooting, but they also don't need guys who can't defend in the backcourt. So
yeah,
it's a tough balance, but I'd at least be open to it.
You can talk me into it.
How about a guy, Lucas, who was let go or just didn't have his option picked up in Brooklyn today?
I thought he was a restricted free agent. He's not now?
Hmm?
I thought he was restricted. Is he not?
He probably is, but 6'8", 24-year-old Zaire Williams out of Brooklyn. Could be worth an offer sheet at least.
Is he? I don't know. Look, okay, so like he has all these physical tools. Good defender. Honestly, even really good defender. Can be a lob finisher. Like, what did he shoot from three last year? Like, I want to say like 32-33%. I don't 35. Even 35. Okay, that's possible. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I wouldn't want him starting, but like, you know, possibly. I don't know if I think I would use the biannual on him, to be completely honest. Sure. I don't think mid-level, but biannual possibly.
Yeah. I think it's one of the situations where he's still pretty young, has a lot of tools, former top 10 pick for a reason. The defense was legit awesome last year.
Yeah, it was.
Like other guys who can guard and get stops. So that would be very helpful. The offense is a very mixed bag. But we do, like, in theory, have quite a bit of offense on this team already. So I could see him being, like, a good kind of dirty work role player.
Yeah.
So I'd be very open to it if they can get him away from Brooklyn. I don't think he's, like, out of Brooklyn for good or anything. That's,
yeah.
A reunion is still very possible there, like you said. Let's go to the old guys, Lucas.
Yeah, the old guys.
I guess, as the kids would say.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Middleton is a free agent.
He's going to Miami. We can't even. Look, he would be a fun microwave guy off the bench, to be clear, but I think he's going to Miami. Same thing with the next guy, too.
Yeah, you don't want Bradley Beal in Philly?
Fourth guard? Can't play defense, only 6'3", what is he, 6'3", 6'4"?
I put the name on. I don't think that's happening, or should it.
I don't think the next one's happening, but it would actually fix some problems. Tobias Harris, he's not coming back, obviously, to Detroit or to Philly, but like, you know, it could, look, in theory, Tobias Harris would solve the three-point shooting. He's not a great rebounder, but he's solid, and he did some good stuff for Detroit last year, but probably not.
Yeah,
I think that scar is a little bit too soon to open for Sixers fans.
That's probably too soon for him too, but I think there's a lot of evidence that Tobias Harris does not solve this team's rebounding issues.
That's fair.
I'm out. He's a fine player. I'm not saying that would be like the worst case outcome on paper, strictly on paper, but it's a no from me.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, maybe some cheaper guys now, Lucas. Nick Batum.
I thought he was retiring.
By the Clippers today. Maybe he is, but I'm going to talk about him anyways.
I would love to have Nick back. When he played here, it was great, but his wife does not like it here.
You know what? It's Nick's decision. It's his
country. Is it? Because it wasn't last time.
Look, I think you're right that he might just retire. That kind of seems to be where things were heading. Last time he went back, said that he was going to finish his career in L.A. On the off chance that he's not retiring, I like him a lot. I think he's a little bit like maybe over the hill in a way he wasn't quite yet when he was here last.
But, yeah.
Very, very smart and versatile player. I would just like him in the locker room. De'Anthony Melton, another former Sixer, Lucas.
He's undersized, but he's still a really good defender. Okay, 3-point shooter. I feel like he likes Golden State too much. I don't think he's leaving Golden State, but I don't know.
They don't have any money.
What do you mean? They're trying to get LeBron in 80. I mean, look,
they don't want to use that money on De'Anthony Melton.
I think De'Anthony Melton's a minimum at this point. I would be interested.
Yeah, I like Melton a lot. Fond memories, good shooter, good defender. I don't know if he's the kind of defender that Philly like needs. You know, he's not really like an on-ball guy who's going to get you stops. He's more of a like roamer, and not that they don't need that.
But I get what you're saying. You need to have an on-ball point of attack guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I could be talked into it on a minimum, especially. I wouldn't hate that, but
yeah.
Tyus Jones.
Lucas, no, thank you.
Proper point guard.
We already have a backup point guard. I'm good.
We're all in on the Baron. I agree. Jonathan Mobo.
I honestly barely even watch him. I don't know anything about him.
All I'll say is that the Sixers should absolutely sign him.
I feel like that's a joke. Okay.
No, I'm like 100% serious. He's such a cool player. I think he's a very cool defender at the very least. 6'6" with super long arms, really, really active, handsy defender. Versatile.
Can he shoot
out on the perimeter? Can he shoot? No.
But, okay.
Decent finisher ish. Has some like little float stuff he can go to. He's like an undersized center, but he can guard and he can rebound.
If I'm gonna go for an undersized center, the next guy on the list is the guy that I want. And honestly, he's like my second favorite center on this list.
Okay, Precious Achiuwa is
can play 4 or 5. Not the best 3-point shooter. Willing to let it rip. Gritty defender, versatile defender. Was the reason the best arguably the best defender on the Kings last season, and he's made a good defensive impact pretty much wherever he goes. If you want to go small ball with him, I'm all for it. I actually really like Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, I'm game. Like you said,
He's better. He's better than our current backup center for sure.
Yeah, I think him and Bona have an interesting kind of contrast in strengths and weaknesses, and strength literally. You could kind of work them in together depending on the matchup. I wouldn't mind that. I like Precious. He plays very hard, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You also put in here, Lucas, Jet Howard. Former Orlando first-round pick, son of Juwan Howard.
I mean, look, realistically, probably not. But, like, he's young enough to where you can still take a flyer on him.
Sure.
I don't know. He's probably a two-way guy if he qualifies for that. I don't know. But, like, look, he's a first round pick for a reason. Whether we agree on that or not, that you know, whether or not that was the right choice, obviously it wasn't. But the guy's 6'6", has the tools to be a decent defender, has the tools to be a decent shooter. I don't know if he ever got a fair shake in Orlando with a coach that can't really coach offense. So I'm willing to would peer into that if I was Mike Gansey.
Yeah, like if he's like a minimum guy who you're just taking a flyer on, I'm open to it. I don't know if he adds much defensively, but big wing who can theoretically shoot, I'm not opposed to. Last guy on the list, a guy who said that he would be open to returning to Philly. A long time ago and yesterday, or today.
Today.
Men's Health article / interview. Benjamin Simmons, former number one overall pick out of LSU, said that he's eyeing to come back. He'd be open to Philly. He'd be open to Miami. Those are the two teams he gave. Would Philly be open to him, Lucas? Would you open your heart up to Benjamin Simmons one more time?
So, like, if he's a minimum guy, like, I'm willing to give anybody that has potential to be a minimum guy. Like, and theoretically, I think Joel said it on Maxie's podcast, like, if Ben Simmons was right, like him, Joel, and Maxie, if Ben Simmons stayed at the level that he was, didn't have the, you know, pass, didn't have the back injuries, whatever. Theoretically, if Ben Simmons was just a 16, you know, 8-7 guy, was okay as a free throw shooter, still couldn't shoot threes, him and Joel and Maxie would have been a good pairing. Does Ben Simmons play center now? Does he play power forward? Would he start here? Those questions I can't answer. But, like, look, like you said, Mike Gansey wants people that wants to be in Philly. Ben says he wants to be in Philly again.
I don't know if that Ben quite fits the fountains, not drains.
That's also fair. That's also fair. Look, I mean, yeah.
I'm not completely closed off to it conceptually, but
the concept of it is not the issue. It's the emotional aspect of it that I think fans need to figure out. Opening up
a big can of worms that could very well be better left.
But, like, on the flip side, if Ben is healthy, if Ben gets back to where he was, he's 30 years old now, right? If Ben gets back to where he was, this makes the Sixers automatically, like, a problem.
Yeah, well, conceptually. Look, I don't think he's going to get back to that level.
No, but let's just say he comes to Philly and he averages, let's say, 10-6-6.
Sure. He could very well still be a helpful player. I think you know, he's never really bought into the power forward thing.
I mean,
have to do that.
He'd be a point forward on this team because, like, you have Maxie, you have VJ as your guards, right? But, like, you can play, you can have Ben initiate the offense and then Maxie, VJ, and Joel run the offense.
We'll see. It really depends on how his back is and how much of the movement from the pre-injury is restored.
But I do not think Ben in Miami makes any sense. Honestly, Miami needs a lot of shooters. Jet Howard would make much more sense in Miami than here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't know. I don't think this is going to happen. So it's really just a hypothetical exercise. But
yeah.
It would be good for the
club. I think Ben's career in the NBA is more likely than not done. But never say never.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying another team shouldn't give him a shot of some kind, but it just seems like a lot to bring him back to Philly.
I guess the question is, has him and Joel and, like, him and ownership, have they mended fences? Like, those are the two big hurdles, right? Because everybody else is gone.
It would require Joel and Tyrese, to, like, go to bat for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe it is. I don't think Tyrese has, like, ill feelings towards Ben. It seems like Joel has gotten over a lot of that. But I don't know if they're going to, like, go to the front office and be like, please sign Ben Simmons.
I think the front office would have to go to them and be like, hey, we're thinking about Ben. What do you think? And that's the real thing, right? So, anyway, that's about it for all the free agent talk that we have.
Yeah. All right, Lucas. Let's talk about some of the other moves happening around the league.
You love sports. We live sports. Subscribe to Sports Illustrated Magazine and get the inside stories, bold opinions, and iconic photography that define the game. Don't wait. Go to si.com/sipodoffer and join the legacy today.
Some a few days ago, some today, some that are still percolating out in the ether. LaMelo Ball. Traded from the Charlotte Hornets to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Naz Reid and a future first-round pick and three pick swaps. Two of those swaps are, like, kind of fake pick swaps that probably won't amount to anything. So Naz Reid, a first-round pick, and one real swap.
And 3 seconds.
And second-round picks for LaMelo Ball. How do you feel about that?
Well, technically it's part of the Julius Randle trade too, right? So really you get LaMelo Ball, a second round pick, and you get off with Julius Randle, Naz Reid, a first round, two first round picks, and a pick swap plus 3 seconds. If you look at it like that, a power forward that people generally don't like, a power forward that's good, but kind of like we don't know if he can hold up defensively as a starter. We'll see. It's going to make their backcourt interesting. I don't think Ea Dosunmu's starting. I know he just got paid a crap ton, but here's if I'm Minnesota, this is what I do. I don't know who starts at power forward. They got to figure that out. Or the small forward, because you can put Daniels at the power forward. I still think you need to get a big power forward to put next. Actually, Sandro would make a lot of sense there. But you get – you put LaMelo. LaMelo last year, the reason why he played 72 games is because they limited his minutes to 28 minutes a game. You have Ayo sub in for Dosunmu. I mean, Dosunmu subs in for both Ball and Edwards. That is 32 minutes a game. If you have Ant playing 36 and you have LaMelo playing 28, 32 minutes for a guy making about $28 million a year, fair price. So fair compensation. I think you have him as your sixth man. Can it work? Yes. Will it work? I need to see it in practical application. It probably won't work this season because big trades like this don't usually work the first year because they need time to reload the roster, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what you mean by, like, will it work? Are the Wolves going to win a championship with these two? The odds would say no. I don't know if that's necessarily, like, a totally fair barometer. Obviously, that is the goal. I really like this trade. I think Naz Reid is very good. I think he's going to have a monster season in Charlotte.
We should also note that Charlotte traded Miles Bridges to the Suns for Grayson Allen and what's his name? The tweener.
Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal, yeah.
Yeah, that was a real embarrassing move for Phoenix.
He's a Michigan State guy, but that's not a
problem. But I think this is an awesome fit. Like LaMelo and Ant genuinely go together very well on paper. LaMelo is a very, very talented offensive initiator. Charlotte was like one of the best offensive teams ever down the stretch of the year, like on a per minute shot quality basis.
Yeah,
they were really mowing through some teams. LaMelo is a very smart and malleable player. He can wear a lot of different hats when he needs to. He's going to play well off of Ant as like a spot up guy and a connector when he needs to. I really like it. He's got Rudy behind him now, which he never had a guy like that behind him in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team is going to be very good, at least in the regular season, assuming LaMelo can stay on the floor. Can he hold up in like a playoff series against OKC in San Antonio? TBD.
He has the buy-in defensively. He has the tools to be a good defender. He just hasn't. So can Chris Finch get him there? I actually want to talk about the Charlotte piece of this because of the Miles Bridges trade. Now they have the projected starting five of Colby White, Konka Knipple, Brandon Miller, Naz Reid, and Musa Diabate. Okay. Is there enough on-ball creation? We'll see. I think they're hoping for addition by subtraction there.
Yeah, like I think Charlotte is just not convinced that LaMelo Ball is going to be the guy to get them where they want to go. I don't even know if they're like thinking they're a better team right now. I think they're planning to become a better team over the next few years. And they're not pushing all their chips in.
They have a crap ton of picks too, be fair.
They still have a ton of shooting and skilled. Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen are both very good shooters. Like I think Grayson Allen is straight up a more impactful winning player than Miles Bridges. I think that trade was a huge win.
Yeah.
I don't know how Khan and Miller and those guys are going to look without LaMelo. I'm interested to see how this affects Khan specifically. I think
he was. Are they going to have him? I feel like they're going to have him more on ball.
Probably. I think Naz Reid, like I said, is going to have a big year. I didn't really love this trade for Charlotte. I don't think they really got that much back beyond Nas. Like, the pick situation is a little murky, but Nas is very good, and I think he could take on maybe a bigger role than people expect. He's a very creative, like, passer and a guy who can kind of attack mismatches and create advantages for you.
We should also note that they have a $40 million trade exception, so they could add That's somebody true. Else.
They have the picks to get into, like, the next big bidding war. Whether they do that because they're located in Charlotte is a different question, but they have the ammo, in theory, to get a lot better really quickly whenever they want to.
Yeah.
I like this a lot for Minnesota. I think you have to take swings at certain points, and I think this was the right time to swing a trade like this.
Yeah, if I'm Minnesota, I call about Mamu. I think Mamu actually makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah, I would like that. Let's talk about a slightly stranger trade.
Slightly is an understatement. Okay.
Ja Morant today, Lucas, was sent to the Portland Trail Blazers for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray. He joins a team that has Damian Lillard, Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe all under contract at fairly high amounts in some cases. Seems like they plan on starting Dame and Ja together in the year 2026, which is a choice. How are you feeling about this?
I mean, the real question is, who's going to be on the move? Is it Drew, who's been rumored to be available now? Is it Scoot, who seems like, after being the third overall pick, is like the odd man out? Or is it Shaedon, who just has never, like, he can score 20 points a game. He did it last season, but, like, he hasn't, like, established him, like, clearly. I tend to think, like, if I'm trying to win and I'm Portland, I keep Drew. And maybe try to trade one, if not both of them. Will that happen? I don't know. They could still trade Drew and make a big splash. You know, I know that Shyam said they're not in the Jaylen Brown market anymore. Apparently the Nuggets are very interested in him. But I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, I money-wise, it would make sense to move Drew. But honestly, if you have Drew coming off the bench for both of them, like, ooh, like, you could preserve Drew health-wise. Like, and clearly they struggled with health last year, so you could argue they should keep everybody. They are a bit thin at the center position, because right now it's just Donovan Klingon and Jansen Yang, which, as much as I know we are high on him, he's not ready yet. At least I don't think he is. Also, like, they have a cheap owner. Who knows if he's willing to pay the luxury tax? So that's another thing to consider here. I don't think they're done wheeling and dealing. I think either Drew or Scoot are probably the two most likely to be out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sharp would be out too. One of those three have to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Seems like there's some Drew Holiday stuff bubbling up, maybe. I frankly think replacing Drew with Ja Morant on that team is, like, borderline insane. We'll see how Ja looks. If Ja is Ja or anything close to it and he's healthy, he's still a very good player.
I don't want the ball out of Denny's hands, though. I think Denny's
I think Ja and Denny can amplify each other in theory. It's good to have multiple ways to attack a defense, all that.
I guess
if they're over the Scoot Henderson thing and ready to move on, okay. I just don't think Ja Morant and Damian Lillard are guarding anyone at any level. And if you're going to trade Drew, especially.
That's why I think you got to keep Drew. Defense. I think that's why you got to keep Drew.
Yeah, but are you bringing Drew Holiday off the bench? Really, in theory, it should be Dame who comes off the bench in this situation.
Yeah, maybe that happens as the season goes on. By the way, I don't like their owner and how he lowballed their new head coach. Shout out to what's his name getting a head coaching job, but whatever Mike the new owner, yeah,
his Mike son Mike is in the Phillies minor league system right now.
Okay, cool. I am going to say I think that he is that Portland Trailblazer owner is now the new hated owner of the NBA. Congratulations, nobody likes you. Go walk into a ditch.
He seems to be doing a very, very lousy job.
Cheap.
All that said, Jeremy Grant is making basically $8 million less than Ja over the same span, $8 million less per year. That was a very similarly bad contract. They're just swapping bad contracts. Chris Murray, I think, is kind of a nothing burger at this point, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's not like a bad value trade for Portland. In fact, no. It's a pretty good value trade.
If it fits,
what this all looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea would be that I think you're right. If you keep Drew, have Dame come off the bench and then trade either Sharp or I would probably trade Scoot. I think that's probably your best bet.
It's the kind of like weird calculated swing that I, in theory, would normally, I think, like. And Portland could be a very, very good offensive team next year. That's certainly possible.
They have Donovan Klingon, one of the best defensive centers, anchoring that team. I'm not worried their defense will be bottom five.
If Drew and Dame are playing 30 minutes a game together, it might be, but...
They're not going to be playing together 30 minutes a game.
If you're going to start them and play them each 30 minutes...
You're starting Ja.
Yeah.
They're
going to be playing a lot together.
If I'm Mike and Nori, I try to talk Damian Lillard into coming off the bench.
Sure. I wonder if Dame is up for that. I wonder if Portland feels that.
I would play both of him and Drew 24 minutes a game, have them split the games 50-50, so to preserve them for the playoffs.
Drew is the best player of those three, is my thing.
You're not wrong. Drew,
to open up a spot for Ja, I just don't understand that. Maybe you start all three together. Drew can guard some forwards. I don't know.
But that's going to put him in injury risk, and you know you can't do that.
They're all injury prone. You're not going to stop any of them from getting hurt if they're going to.
Maybe that's why you keep all five.
I think this is like the end of the Scoot Henderson era in Portland, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think he deserves a fresh start somewhere where he can ball out. I think he was very good in the playoffs. It's weird. It's not like a bad trade. I just don't know what they're going to do with what they have on their roster now. But I'm interested to see how it comes together, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas. Let's run through a couple quick rumors. Start with Kawhi in Toronto. That seems to be picking up steam. Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, that has already happened. Who knows? Seems like Toronto would send Ingram, Grady Dick, and some picks. How are you feeling about that?
I think that's fair. I if I'm Toronto, I mean, like, I guess they see a window. They don't see the Knicks as unstoppable. And they're not, but like, you know, the East is wide open. I think that's fair to say outside of the Knicks, right? Because Boston's retooling. Philly and Cleveland have their boils. So does Detroit. Detroit might lose their starting center. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to next.
I don't mind the move for Toronto. I wouldn't give up too many picks, but that's just me.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
They would be a great move for the Clippers.
I don't know. I don't think Ingram's that good.
He fills a need that they need.
I would rather.
And the picks are the more important thing here for the Clippers.
That's true. That is true. It's how many picks do you get back first? If I could get RJ Barrett instead of Ingram, I would.
The money doesn't work then.
It does if you add different salaries. Yeah, look, I think Kawhi and Toronto would be awesome. I think that's a very good team. And if Kawhi is healthy in the playoffs, that is the kind of big physical monster defensive team that can put a stop to the Knicks,
Ingram didn't get injured in the playoffs, they probably would have beat the Cavs.
Yeah, look, Kawhi's like the crunch time kind of go-to guy they just don't really have right now. So yeah. Defensively, that has the chance to be an awesome team. Colin Murray-Boyles is going to take another step in year two. Quickly is maybe healthy now. They have a lot of big athletic guys. They're going to be a top five defense, probably without Kawhi, but with Kawhi, top two or three maybe.
If somehow they could also swing Drew Holiday and flip Quickly into Holiday, that would be
cool.
That would be a scary team there.
Yeah, so I'm all for it. I, you know, I have not fond memories of the Kawhi Toronto era.
Yeah, like, I would be giving them a hand sign right now, but we're on a podcast.
So it's not like a feel-good reunion.
Nah, but it would be good for the NBA. It would be good for the NBA.
It'd be a good move for Raptors fans, and it would be a very compelling team that they've put together. Yeah, Jalen Duren, Lucas, we'll end here. He wants to be a Sacramento King. It would like a sign trade to the Sacramento Kings. I believe he is also meeting with the Lakers, which would make a lot more sense, in my opinion.
Lakers would make a lot more sense, yeah.
Seems like he wants to be a King, though. Kings would presumably send Domantas Sabonis back to Detroit, if that were
I've heard Zach LaVine as well.
I think Sabonis was the actual reported name. I don't know what Detroit would want to with Zach LaVine, honestly. But
I mean, he would be a nice number two to... yeah, okay, anyway.
I don't want Zach LaVine in the playoffs. That's not my jam these days.
But, okay.
Look, Sacramento's going to spend their money somewhere, I guess.
They don't have any money. They're in the second apron. They need to get out of the second apron.
They'd just be swapping Sabonis' contract for Durin's. That, I guess, is maybe an upgrade. I think Durin is a good fit next to Acuff. I don't know what the rest of the roster is going to look like.
Well, but... I mean, you got Murray, right? You have Murray. You have Killian Hayes, your guy.
He's out.
Oh, he's out? Okay. Anthony, was it not Anthony Carter's son? Devin Carter got traded. Yeah. He just got traded. Yeah. Look, I don't know, man.
DeRozan and Caravan and Nick Clifford and a bunch of guys who don't really fit together. But
yeah.
Really, the more interesting side of that is Detroit. Like, what are they going to do? I don't think Sabonis is a particularly great fit for the Pistons. I can sort of talk myself into it.
No, I can't.
I don't think it's like a total disaster necessarily, but...
they are not a good defensive team if he's anchoring.
A much better fit for the kind of basketball that they play and next to Cade.
I guess I wouldn't hate it if they hadn't already traded Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah, they already traded Beef Stew. Now, Paul Reed was very good in the playoffs. He was like their best center in the playoffs. Are you going to play Paul Reed 30 minutes a night and do well? Probably not. Paul Reed is very good, though, which is good for us Sixers fans. Isaiah Joe, also a Detroit Piston now, which is fun. Anyways, Tobias Harris doesn't seem like he's going back. So if you lose Durin, Beef Stew, and Tobias, I don't know what you're doing with that front court. I guess you're just putting Sabonis in there for 35 minutes a night, but I don't know. Detroit seems to be like playing with fire here. Now, Durin is a restricted free agent, and no team with cap space is going to pay him that much. So Detroit really is holding all the cards here, and they don't have to agree to sign and trade him to Sacramento. So the leverage is still with the Pistons. If I had to bet money right now, I'd bet that Jalen Duren is still a Piston at the end of the day. But if he can worm his way out of there...
The Lakers do have cap space, though, to be clear. Interesting.
Yeah, look, the Lakers would be a good fit for all parties, I think, except the Pistons. I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe we leave Lucas with...
Well, what about the... were you going to mention the Warriors thing?
Yeah, the Warriors... Okay. Re-signed Kristaps Porzingis to 2 years, $40 million today. Draymond Green opted out of his player option, which was worth around $27 million, which gives them, in theory, the ability to maneuver if they get rid of Moses Moody, essentially, to open up the full mid-level and also trade Jimmy Butler for Anthony Davis. The master plan would be to sign LeBron to the mid-level, trade for Anthony Davis, and sign Draymond at a discount and put, like, the Hall of Fame team in their 40s out on the floor together. How would you feel about
that? So, I guess my question is, now that you re-signed Porzingis, how do you start AD and Porzingis and then have Draymond come off the bench? Because that's what I would do. Because I don't think LeBron and Draymond play together. Draymond has nothing to do on offense if LeBron has the ball on the floor. You could have Draymond and Al Horford, who is re-signing with them too, by the way. I think I saw that for 2 years. That's crazy. Shout out to Al, another former Sixer. So you could have a starting lineup of him, Pods, LeBron, AD, Porzingis. That's a lot of size.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would. I don't think Pods would be starting.
Like, who's the starting two then?
Maybe it would. I don't know. Do you put Draymond on the bench? Like,
yeah. I think Draymond. Look, if Draymond's willing to take less money, he's probably willing to come on the bench. Maybe. If that means,
yeah. I think that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I think you could maybe get away with AD, Draymond, LeBron.
No, not enough shooting. Not enough shooting. The only two reliable shooters. The only two reliable shooters are Porzingis and Steph.
LeBron's a pretty good shooter.
We don't know what he's going to look like at age 42 next year. Okay.
Sure. I agree. Maybe you're right that Pons would start. That makes more sense. But
yeah.
I mean, look, I'd like to see it. It'd be good TV.
Look, it'd be good TV. Will it work? Probably not. But I mean, they would have the size with AD and Porzingis. And by the way, if I'm Washington, if I can get like two first round picks to take on Jimmy Butler's deal, I do it. I do it in a second. Jimmy makes more sense on the Wizards' upcoming team anyway than AD.
I don't think that's true, but.
I agree to disagree. You see, your dog's agreeing with me.
Yeah, and like, if you can get picks for AD at this point and dump Jimmy somewhere, totally. I don't think Jimmy and AJ and Trey make any sense together, really. But
well, worst case scenario, you buy Jimmy out.
I think you just dump him to a third team somewhere, probably. But
maybe.
Yeah. Look, I'd like to see it. It's good TV, and this is all entertainment at the end of the day. So. It would be very fun to see LeBron and Steph play together. That would be like awesome for any.
I should
NBA
also know
player.
That their rookie Yaxa Lindenborg loves LeBron. Yeah, loves LeBron, and so that would be interesting too.
Yeah.
The question is, will LeBron take the mid level?
I assume if he's willing to, if he wants to team up with Anthony Davis, Steph, and Draymond, he will.
We'll see.
LeBron is a billionaire. He doesn't need another $10 million on his contract.
It doesn't mean, look, he's trying to buy an NBA team. He wants that $10 billion, but okay.
He doesn't need it. He's not buying an NBA team with his own money. That's not how that stuff works.
Well, okay, still. Anyway.
I think the Lakers are probably still the favorites, and rightfully so, but the vibes there haven't been very good the past couple years. I don't really know what they're going to do there.
I think they're building around Austin and Luka, as they should.
They aren't doing a very good job of that, but.
Well, look, there's a reason. I don't love Rob Pelinka as a GM, to be completely honest. I thought Magic Johnson put together that championship team and Rob Pelinka destroyed it with one Russell Westbrook trade. So granted, I know LeBron wanted that trade. You shouldn't have listened to LeBron.
Yeah. Like,
by the way, I want Russell Westbrook to go to the Miami Heat. Him, Giannis, Bam, all not shooting.
Sixers rest?
No, I'm good.
Power forward rest?
No, I'm good. I'm good. But
great rebounder for his position.
Okay. He actually is. Don't say that. You're gonna talk me into it. Don't do that.
Yeah, look, I'd like to see LeBron and Golden State. I don't really get that much joy out of watching LeBron and Luka together at this point.
Nah, it's a weird fit. Yeah, it's a weird fit.
It's a lot more fun to just go for Golden State and just see what it looks like for a year and then dip.
I'd
be very down.
Look, and it's not too far away from LA, so you can make it work. I think that's the ideal move here. And look, like, LeBron would be like a supercharged Draymond Green.
Yeah, look, LeBron, definitely has declined, but he is still a very smart and talented offensive player. So,
yeah.
Him and Steph, like, their brains together with Draymond is a very tantalizing concept. I don't know if they can stay on the court long enough and often enough to do anything. Obviously, I don't think they would, but it'd be very fun. It'd be good basketball.
Good basketball.
All right, Lucas, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
We'll record sometime soon here once the maybe once the dust has settled on these first couple days of free agency. Yeah. As always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Like, subscribe, follow along if you can. We are on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I am at KleinNBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. We're on TikTok at the Sixer Sense. We are also on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that fun stuff to listen. And until next time, go Sixers. We'll talk soon.
Deuces.